them out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You
The mental preparation that I am going through in this very moment to have this conversation about the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Pacers tonight in the first round of the playoffs, facing elimination, is, well, it's exhaustive. Exhausting and exhaustive. I am like trying to psych myself up like, yeah, let's talk about these Bucks. Let's talk about the situation that they find themselves in. And it's not just true about tonight. As Gabe said, it's about going forward as well. So Gabe, I'm gonna put this on you. Go ahead and lay it out, because I did see a post yesterday that said it's not just about the Bucks losing this series. It's about what's behind door number two, which is all of the things and hurdles the Bucks are facing this offseason, which may begin tonight, this evening. You know, by 9 p.m., we may be in the offseason of the Bucks. We might not.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to win. I said that. I don't think they will, but I want them to. So, for starters, you got Dame Lillard, who is 36 currently.
Damian Lillard is 34
currently. I'm sorry, he would be 36 likely.
Next time he plays, yeah.
Correct. Yes, because he's going to be turning 35 fairly soon here. But he's 34 currently. Again, I'm not expecting him to play mid-30s, that type of injury, the agility you need in basketball. I'm not expecting him to play in 25, 26. And then I would also then assume he would pick up his $58 million player option for the following season because, well, it's $58 million. So can't blame him for that. So they don't have their first round in this upcoming draft. So it's least favorable pick swaps in 26, 28, and 30. Don't have any first round pick in 27, 29. Handful of guys, like Brooke is going to be a free agent this coming off season. So they've, you know, again, you have to figure out some things like Ryan Rollins going to be a restricted free agent, somebody that they've liked, you know, and have tried to develop as that backup point guard. Got to figure out what you're doing there. You know, Torian Prince, Gary Trent Jr., all free agents as well. So a lot of things that the Bucks need to figure out, roster wise there. And again, they've traded away some young pieces along with draft picks, so there's no real young core to go, oh, hey, we'll give these guys an opportunity with Giannis next year. So it is not a great situation for the Milwaukee Bucks in 25-26 heading into that season.
So Giannis is looking at it like this, and tell me if I'm wrong. He sees Dame go down. Dame's not going to play for another 2 years. Probably not going to be here because they ain't going to pay him $58 million, right?
Well, no, he's going to be here. It's a player option. He is going to exercise that option.
But that's 2 years away.
Yeah, but he's going to do that, and there's nothing they can do. You know, it's not the NFL. We're like, oh, we just don't want to pay it. We're going to cut you. No, you are on the hook for all of that money.
But at that time, I mean, he'll still be a nice player, but he's not. He won't be elite in the NBA. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, to think he's going to be elite coming off of an Achilles injury, I would agree. It's tough.
We have no draft. We have no first-round pick. We have nothing to trade to go get a supermax type of player or a max type of player.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to do that anyway because of where you are with the salary cap, because you're on the hook for that money for Dame.
So just how was Giannis looking at it? He's like, the chances of them winning a championship in the next 2 years is what? Slim to none?
Yeah, probably. I would agree.
And Giannis is in his prime. Still in his prime?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a fantastic year. He's one of the top three players in the NBA, too. He's going to finish third in MVP voting this year.
So we're going to see what trumps what? Winning a championship or his loyalty to Milwaukee? But part of me that says loyalty to Milwaukee.
Well, because also, Chu, and I know a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers kind of came, you know, they rose to the occasion this year. We'll see what they actually do now in the postseason. But when I look at the standings right now, like maybe the Knicks would be interested in trading Karl Anthony Towns for Giannis. I mean, I would assume they would be. But with the Bucks, would that be enough? I don't know enough about the Knicks and what they have picks-wise in order to acquire Giannis as well. Other than that, like Boston, Cleveland, probably not going to be trading for Giannis. A team like OKC, if they fail, they're not paying anybody. You have to be able to match salaries in the NBA. Like the salary cap just becomes so complicated of, okay, what apron are you on? Are you able to aggregate salaries? Who are you able to offer and what picks are you able to offer is going to be, again, if somebody wants to, they'll figure it out. And if Giannis really wants to, they'll figure it out. But I don't see the obvious solution of somewhere he is going to go and immediately compete for a championship next year.
I think the decision has to be made, and ultimately, Chu, it's going to come down to, was the one championship in Milwaukee enough for Giannis? Are all of the other things that Milwaukee provides, obviously, he is loyal. We have talked about that ad nausea. Mm-hmm. He obviously has his family here. The opportunities for the other people in his family that being in Milwaukee has provided. He's going to have to weigh if being here and likely being on an also-ran team, which is likely what the Bucks are going to be, is enough to stay.
I mean, we know he wants to compete.
He's the ultimate competitor.
Yeah, we know he wants to compete, but he also doesn't want to ask out. And those two things are going to be directly challenged head-to-head this offseason.
So it's bleak.
It's not
great. Bleak, you're bleak.
Yeah, it's not great, Chu. I want to paint more optimism here, but like, I mean, anybody who's watched this series has seen Kyle Kuzma. Like, that's the guy you're paying the second most money to on the team. It's not great. It's not a fantastic situation.
You told me the other day that they just gave an extension
to John Horst.
DM.
Yeah.
John Horst, surprisingly, because again, I thought he would be the scapegoat in all this if they lost
him,
in the first round.
How can you blame him?
For giving up a first and Chris to get Kuzma.
Oh, yeah, you can blame him for that.
So I kind of thought he would be the scapegoat there. Because and maybe there's something that happens with Doc. I have no idea. Maybe that ends up being it. I just thought with Doc and the contract that he forced the Bucks to give him because they were in such a tough situation after Adrian Griffin and firing him in the middle of the season, he's got a big number associated with his contract. So I don't know if they fire Doc. I don't know if they go after a Michael Malone, a Taylor Jenkins, one of those guys that was just recently fired by their teams. I'm not maybe that's the route that they go. They convince Doc, hey, you were retired before. This isn't the job you signed up for. Let's come to an amicable parting of ways. Maybe that's on the board, but I guess you can't really eliminate anything right now when it comes to the Bucks offseason.
Isn't this, Chew, the underbelly of going all in? Isn't this why whenever we're like, you got to go all in, the window is open, you got to go. And look, I have been guilty of it. I will admit to that. I'm the person that's like, come on, the window is open. We got to make this happen. But this is the underbelly. The future is bleak. You mortgage the future for the present. Yeah. The present didn't work out, injuries and whatnot, and this is what you're facing.
This is New York Jets with Rodgers.
Yeah, except
put all your eggs in a basket, and then he blows his Achilles out first game of the year, six plays in, and never recovered.
Take the Jets out of your name. Right, take the Jets. Come on. We're not comparing the Bucks to the Jets right now.
Well, but this is a full blown rebuild, right?
Depends on Giannis. Part of the issue here, also, again, the economics of the NBA. Like, the Bucks were built under the old CBA, and trying to transition to the new CBA is just difficult because you're over the cap, and just because you lose money doesn't mean you get all that money to spend on free agents. Like, you don't get money to spend on outside guys until you're actually under the real salary cap.
And they have no trade pieces, except for Giannis.
Nothing. You might be able to get something for Bobby. Like, but again, it's going to be a similar level of player.
And we talked about
just
that yesterday.
A different style.
Why not just keep Bobby then?
If you want a perimeter player, if you feel that you can pick somebody up on one of these little other mid-level exception contracts you might get from a Dame, you can get a bigger player. You could flip Bobby for more of a perimeter player to pair with Giannis.
More perimeter players. Give me all of the perimeter players.
Well, they're not very,
Giannis,
the ones they have aren't very
good. I need
Giannis
in the lane, and I need everybody else on the perimeter.
So it is, without a doubt, going to be the most difficult offseason of John Horst's career. And that's whether they keep Giannis or not.
You can make the argument of Giannis's as well, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Well, A, if you trade Giannis, that's a difficult decision to come to. And at the very least, he's going to go to the highest bidder. And B, if you decide to keep Giannis, now the real work begins of how do I, with the restrictions that are in place, try to build a competitive team around him. Because also right now, the formula of winning right now in the NBA is changing. More often than not, in the past, for the past 15-ish years, I would say if you had the best player in the series, you had a really good chance of winning the series. Now you're seeing teams that are just more well-rounded, like Cleveland. Like, I mean, Boston's as deep as they come. OKC, like very, very
Indiana.
Deep team.
Indiana?
They're not on the level of the previous two teams in the East.
Who's their superstar, Halliburton?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Sure. Pascal Siakam?
I'd rather have Siakam than Halliburton if I'm building a team.
Realistically, too, there are not very many teams that could actually take on Giannis's contract either. The names that I have seen, the teams that I have seen are the Pelicans, the Magic, or the Lakers as potential candidates.
How the hell can the Lakers afford him?
I don't know. I'm just reading.
Well, they want to trade Luka for him?
No.
Well, but see, I mean, so that's going to be the if they end up trading Giannis, which again, I think is, as we covered yesterday, a difficult decision for the franchise on a number of different levels.
You know what the nice thing is, though? Go ahead, Gabe.
But if they were to trade Giannis, especially if now we know how Dallas felt about Luka, like that would have been the trade to make. Like if the Mavericks would have just waited till the off season and they knew Giannis was potentially available, who do you think they'd rather have? Giannis or Anthony Davis?
You know what the nice thing is about this, though? We get to purge this and get to a segment everyone loves, power rankings.
That's Chewy's way of saying, like, so I'm looking at the clock, gang. I'm looking at the clock. We're a little over time to get to my power rankings.
I feel like you're using the word
I'm like
everybody
4 weeks,
very
4 weeks
loosely.
In a row of dominating the list. So good.
No, we reset the clock after last week's debacle.
Guess we're going to break. Guess
that
we're
wasn't my fault.
That was your fault.
Nope.
Yes,
Josh,
because you can't
be helping.
Read. 1993, remember?
Josh didn't help.
And then we had three. Oh, I can't believe you guys don't know these names. Yeah, because they're all drafted before 1993, you dipleep.
You guys want me to fail.
No. No, the more success you have, the more success we have.
Okay. I root for his failure.
Yeah, I knew he did. Yeah.
But it is a little like the Bucks tonight, right? I want them to win. I don't think they will. I want you to win, Chew. I don't think you will. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is known for its endless ways to win. Friday, June 27th, Potawatomi is showing why that is the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless. Man, Treasures and Unreal is getting me, man. Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to win your share. It's June 27th. Mark your calendars, June 27th. Only at Potawatomi. More info online. Must be 21 years old to play. Power rankings next.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Power rankings, let's make it happen.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, the guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, very simple. This is just post-draft power rankings. But I want them. It's old rules. Give them to me in order.
Oh, okay. Little making demands this morning, huh? Mm-hmm. Laying down the law this morning.
I think it's best that we went back to something more conventional for you this week, pal.
You think?
Yeah. is when you start, when you have to start doing your own homework. It just,
you desperately needed a bone.
Yeah, you just needed, something a little safe.
Maybe a little special ed. number 10. Give me 10.
Whew, okay.
This is tricky because I don't know what all the teams did in the draft.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a sneaky team that may have just jumped in there. You know what? I'll say the Los Angeles Rams are 10.
Bengals are 10.
Your Minnesota Vikings are 10. Who'd they take in the first round? They took a lineman. They took a guard. Mm-hmm. So, not very
splashy. Yeah, they didn't have a ton of picks. They took Ty Felton, who was somebody the Packers were potentially interested in,
wide receiver. From Maryland.
Yeah. Edge rusher in the fifth round, linebacker, and then a tight end. They did not have a large draft class.
Okay. Give me 9.
Well, again, we're just kind of, I'm just throwing spaghetti here, but how about the Chargers?
I was going to say the Chargers.
Your Green Bay Packers are 9.
Okay.
I was a little surprised at the grading because I saw some outliers, A's, some C's, but mainly all B's. I thought it was better than that, Gabe.
My guess is a lot of the B's were probably because they did not have an opportunity to fully address the cornerback position and only did so in the 7th round. That would be my guess.
Okay.
If I had to look at a lot of those B's, that's why they would get knocked down.
With that justification.
Yeah. Again, that's the way the board falls. You know, I mean, we heard Jason today, Siobhan Revelle was somebody that they could have been potentially interested in who went a handful of picks before they picked in the 3rd round.
Okay, 8.
Okay, well, now we're starting to get to the nitty-gritty, right? How about the Washington Commanders?
49ers.
The Los Angeles Rams are number 8. You guys are out of practice here, huh?
Well, again,
I think you want my lists back. You got more of them.
Yeah. I just don't know what all of these teams did in the draft. I don't know like whose drafts shot them up the board or if it's just basically chalk from the end of last season.
Why are the Rams getting so much love? They're getting a lot of love. Is
they
it
won a playoff
Devontae
game?
And
yeah, I mean,
Puka?
they like had the best game against the Eagles in the playoffs. They had a very real chance of beating Philadelphia in that game.
Okay. All right. I just didn't see it. 7.
The way he said 7 made me...
Are you surprised?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. 7. Just the way he said it. Yeah, well, I'll go commies here.
I'm trying to think of playoff teams from last year. Tampa Bay?
Oh, out of the hat, Jen.
Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay is 7.
I don't have any idea what Tampa Bay did in the draft.
Apparently they like the Emeka
Abuka. They took Abuka 1, which was kind of a head-scratcher because they just signed Godwin and Evans
still have
some
Mike Evans. But maybe, again, and I said this that night, maybe they're doing what Gabe always talks about doing and they're backfilling.
Yeah, I mean, the Godwin deal isn't very long. Who knows how much longer Mike Evans plays. So they felt that Abuka could be that third guy for a year, and maybe one of those guys isn't there in 2026.
But their defense was caca last year. You would have think they went that route, but I don't know. Maybe they're going to try and win it with offense. 7? Huh.
Good
6.
For them.
6.
Okay, so now I feel like we're just starting to get to the teams that were good last year. So the Lions are 6.
Lions will be top 5, right? I'll go back to the well. I'll go to the commies.
Commies are 6. Fair. Yeah. Commies are 6. 5.
Lions.
At number 5, I will say Baltimore Ravens.
Lions are 5.
Okay.
Fair.
Top 4 teams in the league now? Again, assuming that they didn't say Travis Hunter is such a transformational, generational player that he moved the Jacksonville Jaguars from the cellar to the penthouse.
Jacksonville can't be anywhere near the top 10 until they actually win I don't know. They have to win 13 games just to get over the stench of the way that Liam Cohen said Duval in his opening press conference.
Duval. Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, we'll go AO.
The Brian D's are 4. AO.
Okay, I've got the Ravens at 3.
3?
Yeah, Ravens.
No.
No.
Ooh, the Chefs?
The Chefs are 3.
Really?
Yes.
Then
they are.
The Ravens, then the Eagles.
Yes.
Correct. A lot of Ravens love, but they just do nothing in the playoffs.
What did they do in the draft?
Mike Green.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a value pick.
Rusher.
Yeah, it could be a value pick. Malachi Starks. They really loaded
Starks.
Up those first two.
Didn't Mike Green
on
have some like questionable stuff?
Yes, two of them.
Two allegations at two different schools that he has denied. No charges have ever been brought, I believe. But
he would have been a surefire first rounder. He dominated
then
the Senior Bowl.
They drafted a new kicker, so kind of
that's their Tucker, insurance policy with the whole Justin Tucker situation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. They must have drafted something else.
I mean, they've got a long list. They got safety, edge, offensive line.
Okay.
I think Tampa Bay is the shocker. Let me just look.
Yeah.
They like Denver. Denver at 11. Cincinnati 12.
Cincinnati, do they do anything to address their defense?
Almost exclusively.
Oh, good.
Their first two picks were both defenses. Three of their first four were on defense.
Almost exclusively.
The Bears are at 16. It's a little bit of a shocker. I thought they'd be
middle of the
20s.
Pack?
Yeah.
Everybody loves the offseason that they had adjusting.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not
grabbing
going
Ben
there.
Johnson. They improved the
not
offensive line.
I tore the side view and rear view mirror out. I don't want to hear about the Bears.
You're the one who brought them up.
Yeah, you could have gone through this list and never mentioned them, but you were like, "That Bears are 16.
Do you think they're going to finish week 17, 16th in power rankings? No. They'll be 27th.
I don't know.
Depends upon how you feel about Ben Johnson.
The runner?
What? You think we're talking about Olympians here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy?
Canadian Olympians on top of that?
That's right, he was Canadian.
And didn't he cheat?
Yep.
Well, they all,
Michael Johnson didn't.
That's right.
Hey, after the blood bank, I'm just saying everyone cheats, okay?
Blood doping? You think they're all...
I gotta get to the bottom of this.
Out and back
There's
in.
There is a bottom, Gabe.
What do you think? What do you think? What's your hypothesis right now of what's at the bottom of the Red Cross and their blood collection?
And before you answer, can I just tell you, have never been more George Costanza than right now.
Tainted blood.
What are they doing with the tainted blood?
I don't know. Lance Armstrong and the suckers. I don't know. I got to get to the bottom of this thing, though.
All right, you investigate.
And with the empty threats.
Like, if you had a blood guy, I'd trust that you'd have that conversation, but you're never going to have this conversation again unless you give blood. And it seems like it wasn't a good experience for you. It took too long.
Like, it's fine. Everyone should give blood. I'm just saying, before someone else's blood goes in my body, I want it tested. Because now I would have been fine with Angry's blood. Now I don't think I am.
You think they're just going arm to arm with this stuff?
I don't know. You tell me. That's why I got to get to the bottom of it.
I think the Red Cross is just grabbing your blood and immediately just turning around and handing it to just
you know
every
what,
emergency
though? I will
room
say
in
this.
The greater Tampa area?
I think I have the most special blood.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
No, really?
You're the most special boy ever.
No. I'm O positive. Isn't that the most rare blood?
I mean, I don't know if it's rare.
I think it's the rarest blood. Do you guys even know what your blood type is?
Yeah, I'm O negative.
What's
the universal donor?
That's the universal donor.
Yeah.
Is O negative.
Is O positive the most special? Because I think I should be put out the stud.
Can you Google most rare blood type?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Gosh, can you do
The rarest blood type is AB negative.
Yeah,
it is found in less than 1% of the population.
Nailed it.
That was it.
All right, I'm going to take over here and do my Wanna Parlay live.
O positive is not a rare blood type. In fact, it is the most common blood type.
Yeah, that's a fake website if I've ever heard one.
You know what I'm positive about? That's Wanna Parlay. Josh DiMaggio here for my new friends at Wanna Parlay. I downloaded the Wanna Parlay app on my phone and it is so much fun. You can compete against me and all the other Gen Game and Chewy listeners to see who can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. I might be looking at a little Bryce Terang steal today to add to my picks. It's just $2 for a shot at taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple to use. There are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And again, the best part, it is only $2 to enter a parlay into a contest. Plus, there are always free-to-play games as well. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and if you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Put in $20, they'll give you $20 more. So download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. Code JGC. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So I guess everybody's been debating this gorilla v 100 man thing. I guess 100 man is men. Get into this. Gorilla v 100 men. Why are you laughing so hard?
You're an award-winning broadcaster and couldn't put together in your head that the plural of man is men.
Well, to be fair, I did eventually. Not on the first go. But
I
thought
it's just such a simple one.
I saw a thing that I sent to you guys, so you can pull up your phones if you want to take a look at it. Important thought experiment. You're in an arena with 50 hawks, 10 crocodile, 3 brown bears, 15 wolves, 1 hunter with a rifle, 7 buffalo, 10,000 rats, 5 gorillas, and 4 lions. The exercise is you have to pick 2 that are on your team, and all of the others attack you, and you have to survive 1 hour to escape the arena. What are the 2 groups that you would want on your team that give you the best chance of surviving 1 hour, Chew?
How many rounds does a hunter with a rifle have?
Doesn't say.
It doesn't matter. Like, you got to take the hunter.
Well, I'm taking probably the hunter and the 10,000 rats.
Tell me why.
Well, because the hunter's going to kill you the fastest.
Yes. Like, this hands down. Easy, if I got to die by one of them, you're taking the hunter.
So now the hunter is on your team. But yes. Here's what you're up against. 50 hawks. I kind of like the idea of having an aerial attack. The 50 hawks, if you do 50 hawks and 10,000 rats, it feels like you've got the ground and the air covered. Like, this to me feels like old war strategy.
Well, sure, but again, the second that the siren goes off and you're standing there and the hunter has you in your sights, game's over. Game's over 3 seconds in.
I'm glad you brought up war strategy. What was the biggest change to war in the history of mankind?
Oh, Joshy, you know I don't know the answer.
That would
to
be
that.
The firearm.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's just guns. Yeah. It's guns, Chen. Yeah. The answer is guns.
Yeah, but have fun trying to shoot down a hawk with a rifle.
Well, but I'm just
that
saying,
ain't happening.
Well, Chewy,
that
I'm ain't. Saying, like, I'm just taking the hunter with the rifle, not because I think he's going to necessarily be able to aid me. Mm-hmm. I just think that he's got the quickest way to end me.
Like, crocodile, you're out. They're easy to elude.
You just have to run in a serpentine pattern the whole time.
Yes, correct.
But there's 10 of them. So I think your point is well taken, because the hunter, it feels like, could take out a bunch of... The hunter could take out all the crocodile. Again, assuming unlimited ammo. I think that's the caveat here.
Crocodiles are dumb, too. They have a small brain.
Chewie's like, just flip them over on their backs.
Yeah.
Is this a takes one to know one situation?
I was just going to say, if anyone knows.
Three brown bears, 15 wolves, 7 buffalo. These are big creatures, guys. The wolves are fast. The buffalo are big. 5 gorilla. Like, I got to be honest with you, I don't think you're winning. I don't think it matters.
It's one of those situations where it's, I don't think, no matter what two you're taking, you're going down. There's just, it's a sheer numbers game.
10,000 rats?
How are the rats attacking? Because, yes, I agree that the 10,000 feels like an overwhelming number. So
aren't they just going to get trampled by the buffalo?
No, they'll just jump on the backs and, yeah, they just.
They're ill-tempered, Gabe.
All right, the
lions start chasing the buffalo, and the buffalo just start trampling everything.
I agree. Circle of life, right? But I think food chain is not a thing here. I think that they are programmed to only fight you and your two. They're not going to attack
these robot animals that Chewie's been, you know, throwing some money at and trying to research and develop.
I'm just saying, if your strategy is for the lions to attack the gorillas or something like that, and they're on the same team, I think it's flawed.
Oh, I'm just saying if they're on the same team, the lions start chasing the buffalo just to get them motivated, don't actually catch them, you know, kind of like a dog, you know, shepherding sheep. You start get those buffalo going, they start trampling people, it gets pretty dire pretty quick.
Are they big hawks? You know, like big wingspan hawks?
I mean, hawks are kind of big to begin with, yeah.
Okay, so 50 hawks.
I don't know if the size of the hawk is as important as their talents.
Yeah. Well,
they're bigger. Talons are going to be bigger.
Thank you. That's what I was going with. Yes.
Yeah, but they're razor blades on their feet. Either way,
I know. But hold on,
you're going to be maimed.
You turn a rifle around and you just play home run derby with them. That's it.
Well, the bigger then the better.
Wait, are you coming around on the hawks over there, Josh?
No.
Oh,
heavens, no.
There's no right answer. Is the problem.
Okay, let me ask
you. The best option is to have the hunter on your side and have him turn towards you and say, let's just end this quickly, because there's no chance.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
10,000 rats and one hunter, that's your answer?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yes, that's me. Yeah, that's me.
I feel like the hawks would be helpful. I feel like the wolves could be helpful. Let me ask you this. Since you're so resigned to losing this battle, because again, it does feel like a tough one to win, how many of these would you need to win? Right? Three allies and you? Could you get it done with three?
Probably not.
Really?
No, I'm thinking five.
Yeah, 4 to 5.
No way. If you have unlimited shells, the crocodiles are gone, the bears are gone, the wolves are gone.
But the
buffalo.
Problem is, it's a rifle, Chew. It's not a machine gun. You're not just sitting there.
Rambo.
Yeah.
But I get in the middle of the rats.
Drone strike, that'd be
the
great.
Rats?
Yeah, this is 2025. Can't we update this?
What about the rats?
I mean, you just get in the middle of the rats.
You think the rats are going to be protecting you from everything?
On your belly? Like, again, you don't want to be... You have the hawks. Right?
Yeah, but like I said, mailbox baseball. Bap.
Yeah, but if there's 50 of them, you're not going to be able to swing fast enough.
Oh, you're going to get scarred. You're going to need stitches, but you're not going to die.
I'm laughing because Buzzy from Beloit just popped in on the Carbless Talking text line 800-990-3776 and said, I'm late to this party, but what the hell are you guys talking about? So there's a list. You guys have all seen the gorilla versus 100 men. Who would win in a fight between a gorilla and 100 men? There have been simulations out there. You've seen them. I know you have in the last 24 hours. Well, we saw this scenario. You're in an arena, okay? Picture Gladiator, Russell Crowe type style. 50 hawks, 10 crocodile, 3 brown bears, 15 wolves, 1 hunter with a rifle, 7 buffaloes, 10,000 rats, 5 gorillas, 4 lions. You have to pick 2 of those things to defend you. So if you pick the hawks, you get the 50. If you pick the rats, you get the 10,000. If you pick the buffalo, you get the 7 buffalo. 2 of those are on your team. Everyone else is attacking you. Which 2 are you choosing? And again, I think it goes back to how you feel about warfare and strategy and how you would at least try to. You only have to survive 1 hour. Okay, it's not like to the death. Every, you know, you stay until so 1 hour and you win. So is there a combination of those things that you think you could survive an hour? And the answer, Gabe says, is no.
No. Very simple, no. Because again, no matter what you choose, like,
so walk me through it. Okay. What is the hunter nailing first? If you're in the arena with the hunter and give me the other thing. Is it the rats? Is it the
probably
hawks?
Just from a near
numbers
from a numbers standpoint. I mean, you probably got to take out the hawks first. But while you're trying to take out the hawks, the lions start kind of coming in. Like, it's just again, there's going to be no good combination here. Like there's going to be, because I'm assuming you have nothing, right? Like I've just got my two bare hands.
So you have to take all of them on at the same time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah, it's not Power Ranger bad guys where they're standing in a line.
Chewie's asking to be taken out.
That's what I was trying to say, being a little more delicate about it. Spare me. I don't want to be mauled.
Yes. I thought it was two against two.
No.
Oh, you're dead.
No.
Goodbye.
So again, I think the thing becomes, how many would you need in order to win that fight, in order to be able to survive for 1 hour? Would you need three? Would you need four? Give me the three or four then that you think would help you with it. Because again, I think there is something to, if I got 15 wolves and I got 10,000 rats and I got 50 hawks, I think they might be able to take out the hunter with the rifle.
The buffalo is a problem. they take multiple rounds. The charge, that's a whole pickle.
No, not if you're a good shot.
Yeah, and if you're a good shot and everybody's starting on like one side of a line, that horn goes off and guess what?
Buffalo's the least of your problems.
Game over.
I don't think you're respecting the buffalo properly. They famously take many rounds to take down.
Tatanka.
And they are quite aggressive also.
Bears and gorillas, says Brian in the 414. Focus on the hunter first and have them help clean up the rest. A rifle can be full auto unless they specify. A rifle is just a barrel with an interior wall twist. Okay, well, I wasn't aware. Thanks. NRA 101 here this morning. Does the hunter have the special blood type for Chewie when he gets mauled at the start?
That's full circle.
Also, I do want to go back to the reason we started this. 100 people can definitely take down a gorilla. 100 men.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well,
easily.
If they're tough.
Well,
it's got to be the right 100 men.
Athletic. Cuz I saw one simulation where they were like don't and the gorilla
was what do you think I'm sending the C team out there?
No,
I mean,
but
we got if I got.
We got to have some big guys, right? We got to have an Aaron Donald. We got to have a Deontay Wilder.
You got to have tryouts, is I think
you're
what
wrong.
You're saying. Gabe's having tryouts for this.
You need sacrificial lambs.
Well, yeah,
like
you need
Blammer.
Some pawns.
Throw them in there and let them start nibbling on Blammer. And then you sneak attack them.
Yeah, you
like
need some
Ashton,
pawns. You need some pawns up front, but you need some firepower behind the pawns. You need some of the best of the best.
Dave from Aaron says, "Are the rats carrying the bubonic plague? Then you have a chance." We'll take a break. Be right back after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
Feel like indulging your taste buds? Well, you're in luck. Screaming Sicilian original pizzas on sale, just $4.99 at Piggly Wiggly. Sale ends today, though, so make sure you go and get that great Screaming Sicilian original pizza, the great original crust with the sauce and cheese that you love, and it's piled with toppings. Stock up on your faves and taste at Piggly Wiggly what all the screaming is about.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well,
gonna have to clip that.
Yeah,
for me?
That's
that.
I mean,
just hold on to it.
I know. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just, I think it's something in my brain's telling me
something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Looking for a home can be a lot of things, stressful, time-consuming, and expensive, but looking for a home should be an exciting chapter in your life. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams knows this. Their passion is people, and now that my family and I are looking for a lake house to enjoy the Wisconsin summers even more, I feel their passion, and you will too. They're knowledgeable, approachable, and have unprecedented availability. Maybe you're looking for a lake house, or maybe you're looking for a first-time home. Maybe selling is on your mind. Either way, Rob and Nick are helping every step of the way. The We Sell Group's selling process makes sure the best and most competitive offers are made on your home. Get started on your stress-free journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com. out of time. Try to do better tomorrow. We'll be in touch with us next on ESPN Milwaukee.